never grow old, you know, and I watch this pastor get older and older, and I'm going to be the same, his same age next month, and I thought, oh no.
This month.
This month.
You better remember what you're
doing. Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you for coming out tonight, and we're going to have a good time tonight. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to have a little study here in Matthew chapter 2. Let's look in Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to read the entire chapter here and give a little bit of a running commentary, but we'll come back to that also later. And so we want to look at this right now. Okay, chapter 2 of Matthew, very well known, and I sometimes wonder from this pulpit, is there anything new under the sun, you know, in the preaching here tonight? But here we go here, let's look at this. The visit of the Magi. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Wherefore we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, the Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. I'm amazed in this passage, and in chapter 1 also, the fulfillment of prophecy. And our pastor has been preaching on prophecy, but here we have prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus. And so here they say, here by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Deceit, right? Deceit. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. But let's go on here too. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. All the way through here in chapter 1, 2, we have the Lord appearing to Joseph. We have the Lord appearing to these magi. We have the Lord appearing to them in dreams. In dreams. Kind of an interesting concept. And if that has any application to us who have the word of God. And saw in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Here Jesus is born in Bethlehem, right? So he's from Bethlehem. And yet here we have this prophecy in the Old Testament saying, out of Egypt I will call my son. Wow. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and went forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and at all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, another prophecy. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. So here we have prophecy, prophecy, prophecy fulfilled. We have dreams and God appearing. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you now this evening, and Lord, we ask you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. We open our hearts and minds to receive a little word, Lord, from you that would be blessing to us and will lead to our growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for this precious word, Lord, and we commit it to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking tonight about preaching. You know, there's a preaching, and so I have my three-point sermons, I have my four-point sermons, I have my application, and oh, man, yes. And we have, if anyone here tonight is without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ personally in your heart as your Savior, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus, we notice even in this book here, in the chapter 1, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so here, praise God, his name is Jesus, because he saves us from our sins. And we could say, if anyone here has really not trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can do that tonight. You could say, here am I, Lord, I receive you as my Savior from my sins. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. What a precious promise, God with us. And so we could do that tonight, but I thought we might try something a little different tonight. Rather than being a preacher, we would try to be a teacher. And so are you ready? You're ready. Now, we're going to try to being a teacher. And so we have what we call in hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is how to study the Bible. How to study. And we have three words. We have observation. What does the text say? What does the text, observation, interpretation, what does the text mean? And application, what does it mean to me? And one of my students one time gave me a word I was trying to express, extension. How can I use this in reaching others for Christ? Right? And now every sermon, you observe this, every sermon the pastor preaches, he is teaching us observation. He's saying, what does this text say? And then he is interpreting it for us. He's saying, what does it mean? And then he is applying every time, what does it mean to us and to you? Application, right? And so that's what we're going to do a little bit tonight. And so let's see what we can do with this. So first of all, I want to ask then some questions. Now, answer the question loud so everyone can hear, but let me ask you a question. What do you know? Let's have some few facts. What do you know about Herod the Great? What it's Herod the Great is mentioned here. What do you know about Herod the Great? Okay, we've been studying a long time, and okay, speak up loud. What are some details about Herod the Great? A little louder, please.
He was an evil man.
He what?
He was evil.
He was evil. You're right. Herod the Great was a cruel man. He was evil. He was evil. And we see that even in the text, don't we? With his attitude towards those born in Bethlehem. Another fact about him. He what?
He was troubled.
He what?
He was troubled.
He was troubled.
Yes.
He was always troubled. You know why he was troubled? Why was he always troubled? He considered himself the king of the Jews, right? And we'll see later on that he was in charge of 5 provinces in Israel. He was in charge of 5 provinces, and he considered himself king of the Jews. But you know one thing? He was what we call an Idumean, meaning that he wasn't of the godly line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, and the line of Jesus. He was from the line of Esau, Jacob and Esau. And so he wasn't in the line of the Messiah to be king. But he considered himself king of the Jews, and so he was troubled because he was afraid somebody was going to take his place.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, okay. What else about him? Anything else about him?
He was a murderer.
Yes, definitely. Cruel. Murder, he killed one of his own wives, and he killed several sons.
He's paranoid.
He felt threatened.
You what?
Threatened. He felt threatened.
He felt threatened.
Paranoid.
Okay.
Paranoid, same thing. Paranoid, man, was extremely paranoid.
Okay. Now, another thing about. Yes, sir. What?
He was a builder.
He was a builder. This guy, tell us about that, Pastor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Built the temple.
He built the temple of the Jews, a magnificent structure with gold and marble. It was fantastic. He was a builder of fortresses. He was a very able administrator. He was a good administrator. He tried to please the Jews, but the Jews hated him because he wasn't Idumean. He wasn't really of them. And of course he was cruel. And his reign was long, over 30 years. And one thing we noticed here that maybe we don't consider is he died the same year Jesus was born.
Amen.
So we think of the Herodian family. I was going to ask Pastor. Pastor studied in college and seminary, and he had to write a paper at the end of his deal and turn it in. And I wondered, what subject did you write on, Pastor, for your senior paper? Did they make you do that?
The local church.
The local church. Okay, 63 years ago, because I was a history major, I wrote on the Herodians, the Herod family, the family of Herod, 100 pages. I had to turn in on the Herods of the New Testament. That was my title, the Herods of the New Testament. And here they are, and we're going to see more about them right here. But Herod was a very able administrator. He was a builder, and he did all these things. But he was threatened, he was cruel, he was disturbed, he was afraid all the time. Right, that somebody was going to take him his place. Now he began reigning when he was about 36 years old. He reigned for a long time, and so here you'd think, what is this guy thinking? This little baby is going to take my place, you know? But this was who he was. Okay, that's a little bit, very, very good. A lot about Herod. What about, what do you know about the Magi?
There were just three.
What?
There were just three wise men.
Well, okay, we don't know how many there was, right? We don't know how many many there were, right? Okay, but they were wise men. What does that mean?
Astrologers.
They what?
Astrologers.
Could be astrologers, right. Where were they from, maybe?
Iran,
okay. Or Iraq. Some think they came from Babylon. You remember that Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the first temple of Solomon in 586, and the Jews were dispersed and taken captive. Daniel and Ezekiel were taken captive to Babylon, right? And so the Jews were dispersed there, and not all of them came back after the 70 years captivity. After the exile, some stayed in Babylon and these other places, and so there were Jewish settlements in these places. Okay, what about, what else about maybe the Magi? They were wise men, right? Okay, and now, were they Jews or Gentiles? Probably they were Gentiles. And one thing we notice about them that is God's love and heart to reach his own people, and God's heart and desire to reach us, to reach Gentiles. And so perhaps these Magi studied the scriptures. Perhaps there was a Jewish synagogue there, and they were influenced by these Jewish people. And so they were open to that. They were studying. They were wise men. Daniel uses that word too. And others, they were wise men. Okay, and these Magi came. And let's look into we're still in kind of observation and interpretation and application, but we're kind of mixing it all up together here. How were the wise men guided? By a star. Isn't that amazing? God used a star to guide the wise men. And they were wise, and they could have had other influences on them also, but they came in faith, didn't they? They came in faith. They interpreted. God helped them interpret that they were coming to see the King of the Jews. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Okay, that's very wonderful. Notice here too, in the last part, we have this guy Archelaus. And you know, it's sometimes interesting to think about these Herods in the time of Jesus. There were four Herods that lived in the time of Jesus. There was Herod the Great, who died in 4 BC. And there was a guy, this Archelaus, Herod Archelaus, and he was a son. There were three sons of Herod that took over Palestine at that time, right? And they each had a section. And Archelaus came into the place of his father. Now Archelaus was more cruel than his father. He was a bad guy, this Archelaus, and he only lasted 2 years before the government of Rome moved him. From 4 A.D. to 6 A.D., Archelaus. And then we have others here. We have what we call Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was another guy who ruled a long time too. Herod had a long reign, Herod the Great, and Herod Antipas, his son, had a long rule and reign too. Way up into the years of 63 AD and so forth. And then we had a guy, Philip. and Philip was in charge of another part of the kingdom at that time. Okay, very, very good. I think that is good. And let's see, what else could we ask here to help us along in our study? Notice the names again of Jesus here. Jesus was called a Nazarite. So he came from Nazareth, and that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, this doesn't mean that he was a Nazarite. What was a Nazarite in the Old Testament? You remember the Nazarite vow? John the Baptist probably had the Nazarite vow on him, where they were separated. You remember, John the Baptist didn't drink wine. He lived very simple. But it was the old custom where a person was a Nazarite, and they took and they put his ear to a doorpost and nailed him, kind of. He dedicated himself to live totally for the Lord. But Jesus was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. Okay? Okay, let's see what else we can find here before we do go far. But another thing, by the way, what does, I'm learning a little bit, little by little, what does TMI mean?
Too much information.
Huh?
Too much information.
And Betsy is on my case these days all the time. She's still using this, you know, meaning don't talk so much. But TMI is too much information, which means when you talk to people, you talk too much. But in any case, we don't want to get bogged down. It is amazing when you look in a Bible dictionary, the Herodian family and all the intrigues with Rome, Pompeii, you know, and you have Cleopatra in there. And all these Caesars, and how the intrigue and all the thing that went up through this family. But the last two of them we find in Acts of the Apostles, Herod Agrippa I, Herod Agrippa II, during the time of the Apostle Paul. Okay, so let me go down here a little bit. The Magi. The Magi, they were disturbed, okay, the chief priests. With whom did Herod consult to get an answer to the query of the Magi? Who did they ask? Herod asked the chief priests, right, and the scribes. Now look at these. These guys knew the scriptures, but they didn't believe the scriptures, right? What is the famous verse that we've heard again and again? Where is that verse where Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem?
Micah.
5:2, right? Micah 5:2. And he speaks about that. And they knew about that through the writings of the prophet. How did the Magi react to seeing the star stop over the place where the child was? They were
tickled.
Yeah, they were tickled. I like that. They were tickled, right? They were overjoyed. There was joy, right? Joy.
They just saw the star in the east, and they didn't follow it until after they got to where Herod was.
Okay.
They knew where to go to find out where that king was born.
Isn't that amazing? Beautiful. Beautiful. And so they worshipped him, and they gave him gifts. Now, here's an interesting question. Let's see here about the Magi. And look here, when they came, and verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. This is maybe a little ticklish deal, but they didn't worship anybody else.
That's right.
They worshiped Jesus. They didn't worship Joseph.
Amen.
They didn't worship Mary.
Amen.
they worship Jesus. And that's a very interesting concept in there. Maybe we're going from observation to interpretation, right? Well, what does that mean? It means that they worshiped Jesus, and we should worship Jesus. Yes?
It says here, came into the house, not the manger.
That's right.
Okay, what does that mean?
Somebody lying. When they draw the picture with the Magi at the manger.
Okay, that means that a lot of Christmas cards are wrong, right? That when you see a Christmas card and you have the shepherds and the Magi together, that ain't so, right? They came to the house, right? And it's considered that there was a period in there. Of course, they brought Jesus. He was born. They brought Jesus to be circumcised after 8 days. And then there's a concept about Mary's purification. Now, how many days were her days of purification? According to the law, according to Leviticus, right? According to the law, how many days were that?
40
days. Okay, so here the baby Jesus was 48 days old. And this was interesting in the commentary, and I don't want any interpretation, okay? Here's what, that in the Old Testament, when a male child was born, the mother was in purification for 40 days. When a female child was born, it was 80 days. No comment. Isn't that interesting? That according to the law, when a male child was born, the purification period for the mother was 40 days, and for a girl it was 80 days. But anyhow, very kind of side thing, right? And so, okay, and so yes, notice that they didn't come to the Magi didn't come to the manger, they came to the house, right? And there was that period in between the birth of Jesus, his circumcision, Mary's purification, and the Magi coming to the house. And so that is an interesting observation, right? And we've got into a little bit of interpretation. As we look into the passage, and we could go on and on looking at least for each verse, so we observe what it says, we observe the circumstances, and then what does it mean? And we're getting into that a little bit too. The Magi, their possible country, the name of the prophet, the significance of the Magi finding the child in a house rather than still in the manger. And what other details do we know about Herod? Well, we've kind of covered that also. And according to tradition, from which country did the Magi come? Well, we've also discussed that too. Were these Magi rich or poor? They seem to be pretty good, right? They had a good profession. And so that was interesting also. Let's see. Okay, Luke 2. Actually, in this study too, we would have to eventually go to Luke 2 and do the comparison there of Matthew 2 and Luke 2. And they worshiped him. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, another thing, as we just briefly do this observation and interpretation, and then we have application. Yes, sir?
Why did Herod kill the children 2 years and younger?
That's a good question.
2 years.
Okay. Okay, that's a good question. This is what a professor does, see, when he doesn't know the answer? He says, that's a good question. Raul, what do you think about the question?
Good question, because he didn't know the time he was actually born.
Yeah, we usually interpret it that he wanted to be sure he got him, right? But how do you have an answer for that, Pastor?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's our answer. okay, and then the application, let's just make it simple because our time is already gone. But is that God's guidance in our lives, and we all believe and we hear God loves us, He has a purpose for our lives, and praise the Lord, we are His children. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have talents, natural talents that we dedicate to the Lord. And we just, every day we are faced with yieldedness to the Lord and seeking His will for this day, right? And we want to be careful, I want to be careful, we all do, that we don't stagnate. And how hard it is to not stagnate, to just somehow just get there and oh man, how I have to, you know, you have to jump up, you have to say, wow, you know. I read a thing the other day that your life begins when you leave your comfort zone. Well, that's kind of a challenge, right? And but oh, how hard it is to leave my comfort zone, right? And do something different for the Lord, right? That I don't like to do, that I don't feel comfortable doing, but to kind of get out of my comfort zone. And so that's the kind. They were filled with joy. They had an encounter with Christ. They were able to worship Him and bring Him gifts, you know. And so these magi have an example for us of that. Yes, Lord, I want Your will in my life. Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Jesus, right? I worship You, Lord Jesus. I lay down my life for You, Lord Jesus. And daily we are constantly saying, oh, we are constantly working, you know, but as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then we come out of that and we say, Lord, here I am to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, right? And so, and we're therefore we are joyful. And this is what we want to do in application as we read this passage. I have something here. Let me see if we can get these passed out. Two people. One passing one, the other passing another. One brief verse, maybe I better keep one. I made out about 12, and just in closing here, what I have is a map of Palestine in the time of Christ. Very, very interesting map. In this map, we see these places there. We see Philip, the colors, it's even in colored. Philip, Herod, Antipas, Archelaus, and the boundary of Herod's kingdom. So here we have four of the Herods right in this. Four of the Herods and what they govern, the areas they govern. I've underlined these. For example, we have Philip up here in Iturea, which included Trachonitis and that area up there in that color. And Philip, by the way, was kind of a nice guy. Out of the Herods, he was a nice guy compared to the others. And then we notice here, for example, Herod Antipas in Galilee and Perea. And here's a good question. Who was the Herod that had John the Baptist's head cut off? It was this guy. Sometimes we are so confused about the Herods, we think, oh, it was Herod the Great. Herod the Great. Herod the Great. Herod the Great died. No, in 4 AD, or 4 BC, I guess. He died in 4, and so he was there. And so the guy who did this with Herodias and Salome, this guy was Herod Antipas. He was the guy at that time. And notice he had rule over Galilee and Perea. And then you have Archelaus, who has Samaria, Judea, and Idumea. But very interesting. Let me just read this. Upon the death of Herod, Palestine became a province ruled by tetrarchs, literally ruler of a fourth part, but in practice a provincial ruler more subject to Rome than a king. Archelaus, called Herod the Ethnarch, ruled Judea from 4 BC to AD 6. He was then sent into exile by the Romans after complaints about his misgovernment. A Roman governor then ruled Judea until AD 41. Herod Antipas ruled Galilee and part of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan, from 4 BC to 39. Herod Philip ruled the northern region, AD 34. Now notice this about the Decapolis. I thought this was very interesting about the Decapolis. The Decapolis here was a confederation of 10 cities formed after Pompey's campaign in 65 to 62. It gave protection to its Gentile citizens, who were mainly Greek-speaking Roman soldiers, against both militant Jews and Arabian tribes. It says here, who had come in the wake of Alexander's conquest. They had their own coinage, courts, and army. So they weren't under the Herods, the Decapolis. Now, what incident do you remember about the Decapolis and a place called what there? Pastor has preached on this several times and applied it to application too, but very, very interesting. This is the Decapolis, 10 cities, Deca, 10, Polis, city, 10 cities, and they were not under the Jewish thing, the Herods. They were a separate thing, Gentile, for the most part. What happened in Decapolis that we have heard several times in pastor's preaching?
Gadara.
What?
It happened in Gadara.
Gadara. What happened in the land of the Gadarenes? Or what happened there? A little louder, please. Okay, very good. Okay, he's the guy, right? The legion, the guy who lived in the tombs. They couldn't hold him down with chains. And Jesus came and healed him, and the demon said, send us into these 2,000 hogs, right? And they did, and they ran into the sea and drowned. And here the people come out, and they see this man sitting in his right mind, clothed, and they looked at him and they said, praise the Lord. No. They asked Jesus, they were afraid, and they said, Jesus, please go away. Please go away. But one suggestion, and Pastor has brought this up several times, is that this fella became a missionary.
Yep.
To the Decapolis. And this was so interesting the other night. Betsy and I got this missionary letter. And this fella, Larry Buckman, is our grandson-in-law's father, who's a missionary in Brazil. Okay, up in the upper Amazon in Peru. And look at what he says. Last week, I spoke at a Ticuna youth conference where they've had the gospel for 9 months. They had been under the bondage of a Catholic spiritism cult, Cruzada, which made them obey strict rules against drinking and worldly possessions. When they became sick, they scraped shavings off the huge cross in front of their church to drink as medicine. Their cross has big letters painted in the middle. SSPA, meaning save your own soul. Oh boy. Before their leader died last year, he promised everyone he would rise again in 3 days. He never did, so all the people went back to living as before in drunken orgies. But God sent a Christian Ticuna couple as teachers, and they began to tell them about Jesus. The teacher pastor related to me that even the children and youth lay drunk on the ground when they arrived. Now they were sitting in a small wooden church listening to me speak from Mark 5, That's the story of the demon-possessed man from the Gerasenes, who ran naked, terrorized mourners in the local cemetery with chains and cords tied to him. He actually became the first missionary that Jesus commissioned to reach the 10 cities of Decapolis. Yeah. Isn't that great? In closing, I asked if God was calling them to become missionaries. About 20 stood as I prayed for them. And I left messengers and so forth, players. But here's a missionary there, and he used this very story, you know, to say that they could be delivered and that they could become missionaries. Isn't that great? Let me just refer and have prayer here. This other sheet here is, you can use this in your Bible studies and your Bible reading, okay? Simple hermeneutics, meaning how to study and interpret the Bible. Observation, what does it say? What does the passage you're reading say? Persons, places, events, to whom, for whom, original language, tense of the verb. What tense are the verbs in? Your grammar can come in there. Okay, interpretation, what does it mean? What does it mean to the writer who is writing it, to the recipient? And here's the thought. There has been in theological circles that every writing has only one interpretation. But if that's true, then nothing is for us. For example, so Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, right? Okay, Paul wrote the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica. And they had problems, and he gave that wonderful coming of the Lord Jesus in chapter 4. The trumpet shall sound. Well, okay. If the application was only one, then the passage isn't even for us. But we have here, but see Romans, not all scripture is to us, as the pastor has pointed out, but all scripture is for us. Yeah. Right? And then, so we have this. And then, how can I use this teaching in helping other people? So we pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love and care. We thank you, Lord, for the magi and the shepherds, certainly, Lord. And Jesus, that you are our Savior and our Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, and our High Priest at the right hand of the Father. And you are Shepherd, Lord Jesus, and we are your sheep. And so willingly, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Quicken us by your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. And Lord, we would rejoice. We are so happy, Jesus, that you came. And so we rejoice with the Magi, O Lord, and we are so thankful. And thank you for your guidance in our lives. So each one of us, Lord, bless us. Bless each person here, now, forever, in our aches and pains, in our decision making, in your will in our lives, and all to the praise of the glory of your grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Amen. Thank you.
I
see if this thing's turned off up here.